don't get emotionally attached to your deals. It's so easy to get emotionally attached because you're going to spend hundreds of hours looking for a deal and all of a sudden you find one and you really want it so bad that you get emotionally attached and you make bad decisions. And that can happen. I've seen it happen.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Aaron Wong focuses primarily in multifamily properties through self-ownership, joint ventures, and syndications as both a sponsor and a limited partner. Fun fact about Aaron, he says he's more of a limited partner than a general partner. At least that sounds like that's the long-term goal. But he was recognized by Utah Business Magazine as one of the top 40 under 40. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, man. Did I miss anything there? I think we said that early on was that, you know, before when we were off air, you said, hey, look, I'm more of a limited partner than a long-term general partner. What does that mean?
So for me, I love to be passive. I think that's a lot of people's ultimate goal, right? But for me, I love investing, being active. I mean, I've been active since about 2013 in real estate and doing different things. But I see this point in my life where I could see that being passive is just more of what I enjoy doing, maybe have that, you know, the time to do what I want. And if I want to be active in a deal, I'll jump into a deal and be active in it. But mainly just looking at other people's deals, because instead of me having to go find deals, deals are coming to me and I get to look at them. And if I like them, I'll invest in it.
So right.
That's right.
That's absolutely it. I've said that for a long time. I said, my 10-year plan is to make enough money in real estate to where I can be 100% passive in real estate.
Absolutely. Everyone should.
Yeah, there's nothing like getting your time and money side of the equation freed up for you. So that's fantastic. There are three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show, Aaron. Can you give us the 90-second version of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there?
Sure. So as I mentioned, really 2013 is where I would consider I started my real estate, this type of active career. I bought houses back in early 2000s, but really 2013 is when I started in San Francisco. I bought a house out there and we pretty much house hacked it and kind of did a live and flip. You know, it was like a 1960s build, 1200 square feet, pretty small, but huge backyard. We spent about 3 years rehabbing that thing. When we moved away from San Francisco, we rented it out for a little bit. And then we were knocking up against this tax-free investment type where if you sell it within a certain amount of time, you can get it for tax-free since we lived in it.
Right.
And so it was a decision of, hey, do we hold on to it and continue renting it out as an investment, or do we sell it and then try to do something else with it? And ultimately, we decided, you know, let's sell it. And so we sold it. We feel very fortunate, very blessed with what we got from it, being San Francisco in 2019.
Right.
And then from there, we took the money. And I've always been an investor, but it was mainly stock investing. And I was a little bit into real estate. And it wasn't until that we sold that property, I was like, I got to do something else with it. I don't really want to put all in stocks. And my wife has always been pushing me to get into real estate and more real estate. And so that's when I went in and I started hearing something about bigger pockets, right? Talking bigger pockets is the thing if people want to get real estate. So I jumped on there, started listening to webinars, reading a lot of articles. And that just kind of got that fire burning in me to look at, instead of single family homes, let's go into multifamily. So we immediately decided, let's go to multifamily. And then within a month, we bought 3 properties, 2 fourplexes, a couple duplexes, and then in 3 different states, really. And just kind of went from there and then just kept growing. And eventually I partnered up with a good friend of mine that I've known for about 10 years. Then we picked up a few more properties and then syndicated a 200 unit property just a couple months ago. So that's kind of where we're at this point.
That's fantastic. I love the go get it done attitude. That's a lot of inertia right out of the gate. Like, well, okay, we did this. And not only did you pick up a bunch of duplexes and quadplexes, but you did it in multiple states. How'd you do that?
Well, as you know, Brandon turned on bigger pockets, it makes it sound so easy, right? So we felt like we could do it. And my wife was really into it. And she's like, we decided it was cash flowing multifamily properties is where we wanted to be. You know, we weren't really, appreciation is great, but really cash flow is what we wanted. And so really at that time, we just kind of looked online, like the realtor.com, Trulia, whatever it was. And just popped in fourplexes because that's what we're interested in. They just popped up and we just started pursuing them. The numbers worked according to all those calculators that we ran them through, and we just bought them, pretty much all of them sight unseen. So,
wow, that's fantastic. I'm assuming then you do use local property management to manage those for you.
Yep, definitely local property management for everything. We don't manage anything.
Right. It makes a heck of a lot of sense. Let's talk about your latest acquisition, the 200 unit property. What were some lessons learned in that acquisition?
Man, there's a lot. I mean, we could spend all day talking about the things that we learned. The first thing is you got to have good partners, because 200 units is a lot to take on, and it's not something that you can do yourself. And so we were very, very fortunate to just kind of be guided. I mean, we felt there was a lot of just things just kind of fell into place for us to find the right partners to bring on, one that could do capital raising for us and one that could help us with investor relations and things like that. And between my partner and I, we actually were able to do a lot of the acquisitions asset management side on our own, but bringing on good partners was very important. Finding good lending is very important. And just making sure your numbers are pencil out and just be ready for every single thing that could possibly happen. And so,
what's it been like on the capital raise, especially a newer syndicate? It's one of the largest concerns people have going out of the gate is like, how are we going to raise the equity for that? What did that look like for you?
So we had a little bit of concerns about it. We felt like it was a $2.7 million raise. So that's what it was for this 200 unit. My partner and I, we felt like we could probably raise at least half of it ourselves. And we're like, okay, so where's this other half going to come from? And really, it was just talking to every single person you knew about what you were doing. And so my partner, he was very busy traveling, doing a lot of different things. And he lives in Utah. He had a bat mitzvah to attend in New York. He had just barely gotten home from, I think, a business trip. And that very next day, he was supposed to leave to this bat mitzvah. And he was just like, I don't really want to go, but I'll go, because this is a good friend of his. And when he was there, his buddy was just telling everybody what he was doing about real estate. And then his brother-in-law just happened to in real estate. And they had long conversations. They said, hey, I can help you raise this money because we're interested. Said, we do syndications as well, but we've only been focused in the Northeast. We'd like to go West. And you happen to be West. So it was just kind of a mutual thing there where it just worked out. And so they came in and kind of helped us be a KP as well, because they had some experience, but also primarily help us with the capital raise. And so just really talking to people about it and just making sure your deal is a good deal, right? Making sure those numbers work.
What do you think the number of conversations you had to get, I guess, in this case, 2.7, so 1.35 million. How many conversations did you have to get your half of that raise done?
A lot. Hard to say. I mean, my partner and I, we were going after everybody we knew. I mean, this one was a friends and family. It was a 506B, right? So we couldn't just go out there and just tell the whole world that what we're trying to raise for. So we're just going after the friends. And how I raised our money was I just happened to go back to Utah and visit family and friends. And I was just telling what I was doing. So, hey, I'm in real estate. This is what I've been doing. This is kind of the returns that I'm looking at right now. And they're like, hey, I want to join. What are you guys doing? So that's, it's just talking to people. So I probably talked to probably about 20, 30 people. My partner was probably about the same. And you got to realize about half those people probably end up investing that say that they're interested, right? So that's about the stat for us.
Right. That number's lower than what I would have expected out of the gate to raise. So that's very cool. Was there a natural way that you kind of brought this up in conversation, or did you just kind of approach it and say, hey, I want to talk to you about what I'm doing?
No, I mean, a lot of it's just because we're going back to Utah. We don't see our friends very often. So we just have to go back and just kind of talk about what we're doing. I was asking them what they're doing, just being interested in them. And then they would just say, hey, what are you up to? And I just say, well, into real estate. And this is what we're doing. And so just kind of showing them what we're doing and some of the past results that we've had in our other deals. And that just kind of got them interested through those conversations.
Right. That's absolutely fantastic. So where is this 200 units today? What state is that located
in? It's in Oklahoma.
Okay, cool. Can you tell us about your market? How did you guys end up selecting that market?
Yeah, sure. So we started off in Ohio. That was really our main focus of where we wanted to go. And then, so my partner, he's mainly the acquisitions guy. So we really wanted to focus in that Midwest area. And we just felt like Ohio was just getting too expensive as far as what we're trying to buy. And so we started expanding a little bit further. So we went a little bit further south. I mean, that's how we ended up in Memphis a little bit for a quick second. And then we ended up in Alabama and then eventually Oklahoma, just building teams though. We were talking to people, just trying to find out what people were trying to do. And eventually met some brokers that seemed pretty good. And he found a deal on, I think it was Crexie, actually. This deal was, man, a deal on Crexie, not this deal, but a deal was on Crexie. And then he reached out to And we eventually got this 56 unit property. It was under that was listed, got to the broker. We got it under contract. We flew out there. Before we flew out there, I was in charge of the operations asset management side. So I was trying to hook up with some property managers. Before we went out there, talked to a couple of property managers, and one property manager just happened and said, hey, there's a 200 unit out in the same city. I mean, it's a lot in Oklahoma where this 56 unit is. He says, I hear it might be going on market soon. You should go check it out. So I was like, okay, sure. So we went out there to do our site walkthrough of this 56 unit. We walked that property, and then eventually we went over to that property as well, because we come to find out later on the 56 unit and the 200 unit, the owner of the 56 unit was a minority partner of the 200 unit. So there was a little bit of a relationship there. So we got to get down to the 200 unit. We just walked the outside of the property. The property manager was not allowing us to look at any units at the time, but it looked very clean, very nice. And then the 56 unit eventually didn't work out because the seller just wanted too much, because there was a lot more work than would be expected, and they weren't willing to negotiate. And so we're like, well, unfortunately, we can't go after that property because it's not going to work. It's not going to pencil. So eventually from there, we're like, well, let's go after the 200 then. And then eventually found out who the listing broker was going to be for the 200. And the primary owners of the property actually lived in Utah, not far from where my partner lived. And so that actually worked out too, because he was able to actually reach out to the owners there. And then we were able to eventually get it under contract through that relationship.
That's amazing. I love how one deal can lead to the next. I mean, if you're not active, if you're not out actually doing the work, you're just not going to find those additional opportunities. And I think it's part of getting in the reps. I think that leads you to success. So well done on that. I've learned a lot from you today, Aaron. I love the progress you've made, how quickly you've made it. There's a lot of people who are still working really hard to get that many units under their belt, and to have acquired this many smaller properties and then taken down a large one in such a short time frame. That's pretty impressive. So well done. That's fantastic. Is there anything else you'd love to share with the listeners about your journey that you think would be helpful to somebody that is just starting out or just scaling into a bigger asset?
I would tell people to really think about what you're getting yourself into. Multifamily, large multifamily, is it really something that you should do? Because it's not for everybody, because it's definitely not for the faint of heart, I would say. Because there's a lot of things, emotional roller coasters, and a lot of things that could happen if you're not ready for it. And just some people, I just think it would probably cause a little bit too much stress on certain people. I mean, it was a stressful time, this 200 unit that we went into, that we finally got. And so I think just really think about it and just know if large multifamily is for you, maybe smaller multifamily or some other asset class, really just think about those things before you pursue those.
I love it. Let's jump here into the final four questions. The first one is this: what is one tool or resource you find you can't live without?
I'd have to say I have to have my calendar and my to-do list. That is very important to me. I live off my calendar and my to-do list every single day, every morning, every night. I'm looking at those to-do lists, prepping for the next day. And I tell my wife, if I have like a party or something we have to go to, I said, put on my calendar or else I will forget it. I won't remember it's there.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing how reliant we become. Is there an integration between the calendar and the to-do list that you use, or is it off of a certain platform? Or
no, it's just basic calendar, like on Google or Outlook. Just a basic, I just have to see it.
Right. Understood. Okay, cool. Second question for you is this: if you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
I think what I said earlier is just, don't get emotionally attached to your deals. Right. It's so easy to get emotionally attached because you're going to spend hundreds of hours looking for a deal, and all of a sudden you find one and you really want it so bad that you get emotionally attached and you make bad decisions. And that can happen. I've seen it happen.
Right. Absolutely. Third question is this: when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
I thought a lot about this one. We got into investing. When my partner and I came together, we really wanted to make the world a better place. That is our mantra when we put down our values, is trying to make the communities better. So all the properties that we have, we are there to improve them and to make them nicer, even though we may not make as much money, but we want to make them nice and comfortable for people, because everyone needs a nice place to live. It doesn't matter if an A, B, or C class or D class, whatever it is, people still need a nice place to stay. And they're still people. At the end of the day, these are still human beings that need to be treated with dignity and respect.
Right. That's fantastic. Aaron, if listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah. So I mentioned before, we're kind of going through a little bit of a transition phase, but the best place to reach me right now is you can hit me on Instagram, which is at the Recovering Passive Investor. You can hit me up there and then we can reach out and then I can share. We've got some articles about multifamily investing and for passive investors and things like that. So just reach out to me and I'm happy to connect and talk anytime.
Fabulous. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.